you think that most people would say that teenage beauty pageants are a good idea?
Oh, yeah, sure. I know what some of your big city no-bra-wearing, hairy-legged women libbers might say. They might say that a pageant is old-fashioned and demeaning to the girls.
Yeah. What sick is women dressing like men?
Oh, you yes, betcha, Iris. Indeed. No, I think you boys are going to find something a little bit different here in Montrose. Mm-hmm. For one thing, we're all God-fearing folk, mm-hmm. every yes. last one of us. Mm-hmm. And you will not find a back room in our video store.
No,
that filth is better left to the Sin Cities.
A.K.A. Minneapolis, St. Paul.
TBTL.
And you must admit, gentlemen, these two guys have really been a thorn in your sides.
You know what happens when you get a thorn in your side, Gene? It draws blood. You know, two big boys, and they think this is all fun and games. They think they can come in here and play around. They're walking down a dark path from which there's no return.
Worst episode ever. Rest assured that I was on the internet within minutes, registering my disgust throughout the world.
So I was thinking about having kids. I got the names picked out. They're going to be Donut and the Golden Hen. I know what you're saying.
How do you know they're going to be girls?
I feel happy of myself.
Well, all right. Hello, good morning, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
It's a tuna, bro.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Get on the magic carpet and ride.
Coming to you once again from Studio P at the American Public Media Mothership at 7th and Cedar in downtown St. Paul, where all the Skyways have back rooms, if you know what I mean. It's a wild, wild town here, St. Paul, Minnesota. We're about to have a wild time here on episode 3076 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
We are actually going to do something very interesting. We are going to take a sort of a quiz. We're going to do an exercise. It's from the New York Times. It's called 36 Questions That Lead to Love.
Did you ever have a soul partner? Did you ever have a love?
We're going to find out really if Andrew and I are meant for each other. And that we'll see where that takes us. As coworkers, as friends, maybe as more. We don't know. We'll find out after we do some or all of these 36 questions. More on how we arrived at this idea for today's episode coming up. Speaking of my friend, I think for now, my longtime partner on the show, the longest-running Cobra of the program, known for his drawings of tall ships.
Oh, he's hilarious, dog. Who is
Andrew?
Yeah,
Walsh. He's joining me right now from one table over here in Studio P. Good morning, my friend.
One table over. Could that mm-hmm. be a public radio podcast
about like a food podcast?
A food
or crafting?
Or eavesdropping,
maybe. Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, one table over.
Ooh.
And also here helping us is a dear friend of the program, one of our very favorite people in the world, our colleague, APM digital producer extraordinaire, Christina Lopez, known in these parts as
Kiki, do you love me?
Christina Kiki Lolo Lopez. I just wanted to play the music very loud to show how excited we are to have you on the show. Welcome.
I'm excited to be here again.
You are in from Los Angeles.
Yes.
Because we are all here for this big American Public Media week of various programs, having retreats and such. We, of course, were all together in the TBTL retreat, but have you been in other retreats as well now?
Yes. Yeah. So we had one for Brains On yesterday.
Would it be obvious that ours was the best, most fun, and coolest?
Yes. I'll just say that. Yeah. Seems like the easiest.
What are you telling Molly?
You're all my favorite children.
That's right. Good job.
I am
Do they have
excited.
A cool sound effect like this for you, though? Until Brains On starts featuring that as part of their show, I think we should be your favorite program.
I think this is a big day in TBTL history because I don't think the three of us have ever done the show together in person
no.
before. You've always been on the phone.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, now
thank
that
you for
they
doing
can hear
this.
Me clear.
Yeah.
And this is kind of perfect because we were having our big TBTL retreat with a bunch of fine folks here at APM, and we're talking just about all kinds of things, and I think this is how this came up, Christina.
Yes.
You said, I think you referenced these 36 questions, right?
Yeah, so we were talking about like some of your highest performing shows, and one of them was like a quiz that you guys had done.
Was that the New Year's Eve? We were referencing, was it the New Year's Eve quiz?
I don't know, I can't remember.
We did a quiz recently about, we answered questions, and then it was supposed to tell us what we should wear on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, something like that.
We both got a little black dress,
mm-hmm.
which is, I mean, it just didn't feel very creative, but I guess it's a good look on New Year's mm-hmm. Eve. But that was a highly rated show for us, highly downloaded show. And so that got you thinking about this this quiz from the New York Times.
Yeah, yeah. So 36 questions. Funnily enough, it was a musical podcast.
What?
Like a musical podcast was based on this.
What?
On these questions with Jonathan Groff. I can't remember the woman who was in it, but it was a three-part series.
Was it Nicole
series.
Kidman?
No, it wasn't.
Andrew's Wheelhouse.
I actually love that that was the format that they chose for this musical. Like, why aren't there more musical podcasts? But
yeah,
I'm a little confused. So they took these questions and turned them into a musical podcast.
On this show.
Yeah.
Everyone's ignoring that. It's probably better. Sorry.
Christine and I are trying to have a conversation, Luke.
I'm right in the middle trying to turn this into a musical podcast, and it's not working.
I'm also like, what's Luke's I Want song?
Ooh, what is the I Want song? I mean, it seems self-explanatory, but is that where the character in the musical expresses what their desires are?
Yeah, so it usually comes in like one of the first acts, okay. And then it's, think about like Moana's big song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Little Mermaid, Ariel singing, uh-huh, like Part of Your World.
Part of Your World,
Part
okay.
of Your World is an I Want song.
Mm. Thingamabobs? Yeah. I got 20. You know?
Are you sick of swimming?
Bright young women, sick of swimming. Ready to stand and ready to know what the people know? This is where I just basically start talking.
What's the word again? Feet.
Feet. Oh, God. I love that song. I love that musical so
it's
much.
A good
I don't,
song.
Don't mean to digress, but.
I could talk about musicals all day.
Though I am actually pretty limited on my knowledge of musicals. They come down to the musicals that my mom liked, so we would watch them as kids, like Sound of Music,
okay,
Fiddler on the Roof,
okay,
and then musical, like Disney cartoons when my daughter was young.
Right.
That were just, we were watching a lot. And Little Mermaid, actually Little Mermaid preceded her a little bit. But,
89, yeah.
But I forced her to watch it because I thought it was adorable. okay, so we've got these questions, and we're going to, Christine, I guess you're going to kind of administer them to us?
Yes.
And then what do we know about how this is going to work in terms of, you'll ask me a question, I will just answer it aloud on the show?
Yes.
And then will Andrew answer the same question?
I think he should, yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's the whole point, is that this mutual vulnerability breeds a different level of closeness. So it'd be interesting, I think, for me, you guys have known each other for such a long time, like what you could possibly learn about each other through this process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like what might come out. I don't know.
There's also a part at the end of this where we are, the two people that are taking this are supposed to stare into each other's eyes for 4 minutes. And Christina, being a professional digital content creator that you are, and a person who knows what is a good podcasting and bad podcasting, you said, well, that would be a pretty bad idea for the show. And I thought, well, that might be exactly what we do.
Yeah,
on
you
TV
literally
show.
Were like,
just stare into each other's eyes silently for 4 minutes and just see how weird it gets for the listeners.
Yeah, you're like, do you listen to the show?
I feel like we should tape that and make it the Hey Dummies video for this week.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay. And I love it. Look, this is everything's coming together because Christina puts the newsletter together on the back end side of it.
Uh-huh.
So this
yeah.
is what are your thoughts as an APM digital producer of that idea?
I think that actually is intriguing because you can even see like the micro expressions.
Uh-huh.
I just want to watch you guys be awkward. Uh-huh. Well, mostly Andrew is going to be.
I'm actually, good news is you're listening to the show.
I'm actually sweating thinking about it, but I'm also sweating because I was trying to get some exercise this morning. Andrew, you came out of the hotel and just found me standing on Kellogg Street in St. Paul in my gym clothes,
shorts and a t-shirt.
I'm sorry,
radiating heat because I was when I exercise. And this is not an indication of how hard I'm working out. This is just my body for some reason. I just schwitz. I sweat for a long time. So I thought, here we are in St. Paul. It's, I don't know, 20 degrees or something.
Currently 19 degrees.
It's freezing.
So I was like, I'll stand outside. All of the heat in my body will just immediately leave because it's so cold. I was standing out there for like 10 minutes. I was still warm. Talked to Andrew. Then I went inside. Then the hotel is like maybe 5-6 blocks from here.
Yeah.
I did not walk in the skyways. I walked outside in the snow in a light jacket because I thought, well, that'll really take my core temperature back down to a normal level. And I'm sitting here and I'm still sweating.
Well, I do think that there's something about coming in from the cold into this warm building.
Yeah,
I
like
mean,
body
it gets
condensation
me
or something like that.
Every time. Yeah. By the time I get to the studio, no matter what I've done, I am way too hot and sweaty.
I think you should not look at it as a bad thing. Maybe you're just really getting rid of some toxins.
Lord knows.
Not to get LA about it.
No, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. I mean, I think my body is probably telling me something. It's like, we're doing a lot of work here to try to keep you alive, burbs.
Yeah.
But anyway, if I start sweating during the video, it's partially because of my nervousness and partially because of my weird biology. So apologies for that. Here's my question. I guess maybe this is to Andrew. Should we break and then come back and then start in with the questions?
Sure, yeah. Take a little early break right now.
Yeah, why not? Since yesterday the break happened about 40.
Can I ask?
Let's average out to an earlier break.
Can I? Before we do that, though, can I ask Christina, so can you kind of explain what the end game is going to look like here? Like, is there a key that you turn to at the end because to analyze Luke and my answers and you'll tell us something? Or are you just going to interpret it yourself? Or about the process?
It's the process.
Okay.
It is the process.
Trust the process.
Like these questions are really kind of out there. So I think I truly think you're going to find out some things about each other that you probably don't know.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Last thing before we go to break, just in the interest of updating a kind of a ongoing topic on the show, Ken Jennings, friend of the program, is the GOAT of Jeopardy. He is having a moment today.
That's right. Today would be a bad day to text him if you expect.
I already did, and I haven't heard back. And I understand why. He's probably on the Today Show or something, but congratulations, Ken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jen. We look forward to you upping your donation to TBTL. That's fair. That is fair. If any listeners... If we know for a fact that any of our listeners won $1 million, we got to get our beaks wet.
What if he made you guys do a final Jeopardy for how much you would actually get for as a donation?
Destroyed.
Oh, what would you bid?
Oh, man. $1.
Yeah. It's all over.
But that is incredible. Congratulations to him. And I mean, really, it's like all over the internet today. It is a big, big deal. And anyway. congratulations to Ken. I'm a little, I'll be honest, because I'm petty and insecure in the way that I am. There's this, everyone's really geeking out about the friendship between Andy Richter and Ken Jennings because there was a question on Jeopardy. Conan O'Brien was reading some of the clues in this big goat tournament, and one of them had to do with Andy Richter. And Andy and Ken Jen went to a Mariners game, and it was on the Diamond Vision. Everyone filmed it. The Mariners are tweeting at Ken Jen, like, come back this season. You can even bring Andy Richter. I think I introduced them, and I've been completely left in the dust, or more aptly, in the snow of St. Paul. They were on Livewire together years ago.
In the dark.
We had the, there you go.
Sorry.
Where's my bell? years ago on Livewire, they both just happened to be on the show at the same week. We had them do a competition where they had to – there was some eating competition on the show. We had a very fancy place from Portland called Olympia Provisions, Bring In Food. And Andy Richter looked at the food and he said, well, that looks like two farts on a plate because it was like eggs or something.
Oh.
And I was like, I was slightly mortified because I was like, I think the guy from the company is here. He's having his food called two farts on a plate. But anyway, they hit it off. Now they have a great bromance that's being celebrated all over various media platforms. And where's the old Burbs the matchmaker in all of this? Nowhere. That's where. Not nowhere. No, here with my friends.
Yeah,
okay.
You have other friends.
I realized that the end of that involved me not being happy. I'm with you too.
You know what? I'm disappointed in myself for not being disappointed in your statement.
Does that
even occur to me that I should be insulted?
Is that
by
question 34? Are you disappointed when you're spending time with this other person instead of Ken Jen and Andy Richter?
Every question you answer today is going to somehow involve Ken Jen, and it's going to make me feel very bad.
We did a quiz yesterday, a Jeopardy quiz based on some of the questions that were in that tournament. And it was funny because Andrew was like somehow in the asking of the question was feeling embarrassed. You were like, you were losing even though you were administering the questions to me.
Yes.
I mean, in your estimation, I'm not saying that.
Pronunciations, I'm not super great at that. Syntax, still working on that, knowing how to communicate. How do I have a job in podcasting really the question.
Everything that you were worried about with those questions, you were never getting it wrong. Like the pronunciation of that river in Montana, you had that fine. Like you did a really good job of helping me along on some of the clues. Like it's like your fear of messing it up or sounding silly is very high, but you're not actually messing it up or making it sound silly most of the time.
And they haven't announced a successor for Alex Trebek yet.
That's right.
So maybe I am in the mix.
Yeah,
definitely.
One of the things my therapist tells me all the time is don't judge it as you're saying it.
Wow.
That's what I get hung up a lot, even just when I'm exploring my own like emotions. I'm judging myself as I'm saying it. So don't judge it as it comes out of your mouth.
Let me ask, I don't know why I'm getting
I don't know if the listeners agree with that, but I do think that's a really nice piece of advice. The listeners might be like, a little judging would be okay. They're like, Luke, you could at one time edit yourself a little bit.
Okay. This is a very serious question for you, Christina, so I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay.
But what about judging yourself later? Because that's something I do, and I'm thinking of you now, because I had dinner with you and a couple of other colleagues the other night, a couple of whom I was meeting for the very first time. No big deal, very chill, seemed great in the moment. The next day, all I did was keep on saying, why did you say that stupid thing? I was just like thinking of all these dumb things I said to you guys.
That happens to me all. That's actually the biggest part of my anxiety.
Yeah.
Is like retrograde, like after the fact, especially if I did a presentation. And even if the presentation went well, I'm still analyzing every single thing I did wrong, even if it was successful. But you just have to remember that you can't change whether you already did. So like, why, you know, the thing is like, you can't avoid the pain, but you can avoid the suffering.
Oh, so, that's interesting. Is that what your therapist said, or is this what you're
saying? That was something I read in a book.
Oh, okay.
It was
like,
you can't control the pain, but you can control the suffering. Uh-huh. So, like, don't make yourself suffer for nothing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Has that been useful for you as sort of a mantra or something to remember?
Yeah, truly. Like, especially when it's anything anxiety related, because it is like a control issue. And so you have to just kind of relinquish that there are some things you can't control, like the past.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, why are you making yourself suffer for something that you can't control?
Yeah. In my best moments, I try to do that. I try to say, well, yeah, you can't control that. So just, like, what can you take away from this so that you don't do it again? Like, whatever it is. But I also think that I need to also identify what things I should legitimately regret and which things were probably just, like... fine.
Yeah, look, I wasn't saying it to like make you like
no,
it's more just like when you're feeling things, or like even just reading stuff off a screen is hard. Like,
yeah
I know you're like, how am I in podcasting? Extemporaneous speaking is a different skill set, I think, that people who are good at reading scripts might not be able to do, that you guys do very well. So I understand the like the anxieties behind completely.
I think that's really a really nice thing for a lot of our listeners to hear, Christina, because I think what honestly draws some amount of the people that like this show together is that they can relate to the anxiety that we all feel, and we all feel it differently and for different reasons. Oddly, for me, it's like when I'm playing and I can't find a piece of audio and I'm looking around for it forever, I feel like the listeners are getting so bored with that. Or if I play it too loud, like I played your music too loud, Christina, those things make me feel the whole show. I'll be bummed out that I messed up this one thing that no one really cares about.
Yeah.
But I think that's a nice piece of advice or whatever for our listeners, because I know a lot of our listeners have anxiety and a lot of them have sort of intrusive thoughts and recursive thoughts about things.
Looping thoughts.
And one of the things that I luckily don't have – I probably should have more of that. that's not maybe the way I struggle the most, but I definitely have at times had to do kind of like a breathing exercise where I feel like I'm physically exhaling my anxiety about something that I can't get out of my head that I did or said or I was embarrassed about.
Yeah, there have been sessions that I've walked in and my therapist can tell that I'm agitated. That's how my anxiety manifests. Like,
okay.
So if I'm ever short with you, it's really just an anxious response, not necessarily like I'm not angry. It's like I'm overwhelmed and I'm very agitated. Like that's how it manifests. So there are times where I'm just like sitting in the room with her breathing and I'm like, I'm paying $50 for this, but like it works. And I needed that quiet space to be able to process.
Yeah.
And in like the physiological response that happens when you really focus on your exhale, it really does relax your body. And so one of the things that helps is I do something called square breathing.
Okay.
Where you like inhale for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds, and then like hold that for 4 seconds, and you do it like 3 or 4 times.
I just did half of that and I feel better.
Yeah.
I literally was just, I was like doing it along with you describing 8 of the 4 seconds or whatever, or you know what I mean? Like the in and the holding it part. And that was enough to make my heart rate feel like it was going down a little bit.
Huh. Boy, do I hope there's a Calm ad coming up right after this.
Or at the very least, in the immortal words of one Gary Busey.
You must remember, the past is history. The future is a mystery. And now is a gift. Because it's called the present.
I just see teeth.
Yeah. Is Gary Busey your therapist by any chance?
Or your garapist?
Oh,
I apologize.
No, I'm. Well,
now it's time to go to break.
Yeah.
Now it's time to go to break. All right, quick break. And then we'll be back with our 36 questions and our friend Christina Lopez. Stay with us at CBTL.
Only fools rushing, and I am here falling in love with you.
the UB40 version. You love to hear it.
This is my version. I don't even know the name of the person who did this originally.
Elvis.
Was it originally? I don't think it was originally Elvis, though. I think Elvis covered it. Elvis covered. He was mostly a covers guy.
A true story. So
but you are right. He did do probably the most famous version of this.
I was trying to remember. I feel like this plays at the end of a rom-com as the credits roll, and I was trying to remember what movie it was.
It plays a different. It plays at the end of Some Kind of Wonderful.
Okay.
Do you know that movie?
I'm trying to remember.
There's a version of this song by a band called Lick the Tin. They're a British band. I've played it on the show before.
Heard you mentioned that.
Christina,
I just Googled that movie, yeah.
Is that the one you were thinking of?
I don't think so.
It makes sense. There's also a rom-com called Fool's Rush In that came out in 1997.
So, funny story, actually, just side tidbit.
Please.
Jennifer Lopez passed on that movie.
It looks like it's Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
Did she take the Jennifer Lopez role?
Took it, and like... They have a rivalry, and there's this interview from the 90s that she did, Jennifer Lopez did, where she's just like trash talking everybody in Hollywood.
What?
And she was like, I passed on that movie because the plot was thin. I did Anaconda instead.
So I did a Gigli with Ben Affleck, or was it Jersey Girl? There was another movie that she did when she and Ben Affleck were a couple that was, I thought, it didn't get the greatest reviews.
Gigli was widely panned. I've never seen it, but I just remember that being a punchline.
Is she
for a long
in
time.
Gigli?
She's in Gigli. She plays a lesbian.
Oh, okay.
Who falls in love with Ben Affleck?
Oh, okay. Oh. So there's some of these details. I had some of these things right. I loved this song so much. I want to say, I don't know if this was on Labor of Love 2, but one of the very first CDs I ever bought in my life. Are you old enough to have purchased CDs, Christina?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this the other day because it was trending. The first CD I ever bought was TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool.
Oh, that's a good one. That has like Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, mm-hmm. No Scrubs.
Creep. Yeah.
Creep. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's just, yeah. I there was this place called Silver Platters. It was a CD store by Northgate Mall, and I would save up my money from lawn mowing or whatever and ride my bike there and buy one CD. So it was a big purchase. And then I would listen to every single track. I would read all the notes. It would come in that crazy, like, anti-theft.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a giant rectangle. Most of it would be foam.
Yeah.
I guess so you couldn't steal them.
Yeah.
Do you remember before they started just, like, putting the square CDs in those plastic non-stealing brackets, they would just sell the CDs and they would make long
that's
cover
what I'm
art,
thinking of that big, would be cellophane yes like, shrink wrapped, and I loved those.
And you could cut it out and you yes. could hang it on your wall like yes. if you were gonna get like you know
I had the some... Smith's Strange Ways
uh-huh.
and it was all like a long like graphic or whatever of what the CD cover was.
They really used to seal those CDs like the cellophane and then the tape on top that you yes. had to like, peel
oh,
off
God, that was the bane of my existence. Oh okay, trying to peel that off perfectly
yes.
as you guys are not surprised to hear that like I would not want sticky gunk on my precious CD
yeah.
jewel case, so but it would always like peel off in three parts. There's always swearing involved and possibly goo gone.
I think we were talking with Camaro Kev about this probably off air, but I believe you could relate with this, Andrew, that like Kevin would go through, he's very meticulous about stuff like that too,
mm-hmm.
and he would go through and replace all like the, if a jewel case for the CD, if like one of the arms got broken
oh,
off.
Oh, hell yeah.
He
oh,
would
God,
go
yeah.
through and like rip like, it was, he could not rest as if his CD collection had kind of janky jewel case problems.
Oh, amen. I mean, and a lot of the CDs I would buy would be used, and if the people, you know, who owned it before me didn't take care of it, that would be a problem. You could buy new jewel cases, and I would buy these things, and it'd be a problem because some jewel cases have a black back, and some have a clear back so they can show the art coming through.
Right.
Am I thinking of Gish by Smashing Pumpkins?
Oh,
maybe. I am. Who knows?
Sure.
So, yeah.
A band I was afraid of, because they sounded very hardcore.
Yeah, well,
like, oh, they're smashing.
Why are they smashing
pumpkins?
Things?
Yeah,
who are these Gallaghers?
It was also like the cover part would crack so easily.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta take care of them.
Andrew, I don't need to do 36 questions. I already know I love you.
Yeah.
That's a great story. That was very endearing. Okay, Christina, I don't think we're gonna have time to do all of them, but maybe let's just go through some of these and see where we end up. If
okay.
that's okay with you,
so,
I'm weirdly nervous.
Okay, first question.
All right.
Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
I hate this question.
I
don't hate it. I just don't have a good answer to it. And it comes up surprisingly frequently.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go with what... Can I just jump in?
Yeah.
Do we have to maintain really strict eye contact during this part? Or is that
no, no,
later?
No, that's
in fact,
totally.
I'd appreciate limited eye contact.
Okay.
<if possible.
laughs> Look at the ceiling and say... I'm going to say Tom Waits. This came up when we were playing our other winter games, and we're talking about who would you want to be on a desert island with. And I didn't
deserted
say Tom...
Island.
Well, we learned that they both... in the same thing. Anyway, yeah. And yeah, I think Tom Waits would be a good answer for me.
I am going to probably go with the thing that I say the most when this question is asked, and it's not unlike Tom Waits. It's probably probably Jeff Tweedy from Wilco.
Wait a second. Hold on. Is this what? Can you read the question again?
Did we do this already, Andrew?
Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
Genevieve. I'm not saying that to be romantic, but like, yeah, I was just, I automatically.
Fine, then I'm taking Tom Waits.
I just automatically assumed it was like famous person, but no, I mean, yeah, Tom Waits would be cool, but I'd be all nervous about it. I'd have to like dress up or whatever. I just like, I'd rather just chill with Veeves.
Okay. Aw, that's sweet.
I'm not saying that to be sweet. I'm just, you know, it's just easy.
I'm going with a famous person. I'm going with Jeff Tweedy from Wilco, just because I really like his music, and he seems like really fun and just like a low key guy who'd be fun to talk to.
Yeah,
I did think it was interesting that you both
and Genevieve.
You both.
Me.
What if we both said Genevieve?
Me, Genevieve, and Jeff Tweedy.
That you both picked musicians.
Oh,
yeah. That is. Who would you pick?
Rita Moreno.
Oh man,
because she just has so many stories, and she's so talented.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you Have you crossed paths with her yet in any of your media stuff?
Never. Like, I've interviewed Betty White.
Oh, wow.
Who, like, held my hand the entire time.
Oh, my God.
Because it was a red carpet thing. It was at, like, the SAG Awards a couple years ago. But I never ran into Rita.
What was the show, Step by Step, that they rebooted?
One Day at a
One
Time.
One Day at a Time, excuse me?
So I actually went to a taping of that. I took my mom to a taping
of
that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it was a great experience. We didn't get to meet her. But
she was in the episode, obviously.
Yeah, she was. So I got to see her in real life, like, act. And, like, I'm fine with that. Sometimes you're fine with just, like, like, okay, I saw them and we existed in the same space. I don't have to talk to you. I just, like, treasure that.
Oh,
that's
really
kind
sweet.
Of it. And to go back to the Tom Waits thing, that's it for me. Like, yeah, if it had to be a famous person, that's fine. But like, I don't get a lot of joy out of meeting famous people because I just feel like I'm not in that moment very well. You know, I'm so in my head, and it's not, and I don't think that I'm making a great impression on them.
Yeah,
so.
You know what? That's a good question, Andrew, because like, this is going to sound extremely weird, and like, I'm trying to somehow curry favor with you, but I would be fine being on a deserted island with you or being at dinner with you, because it would be fun. We talk. I mean, we hang out all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very free and easy. It's low stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're right. It's like when you hear that question, one's brain goes to like, well, who's an impossible person that I can then summon into this space for dinner? But it's like, would that actually be the most fun, or would you be kind of stressed, or would you rather just kick it with someone who you are already comfortable with?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. I don't know if we solved much there, but those are our answers.
Yes.
Okay.
So, question two. Okay, this is depending on your degree of how you define this word. Would you like to be famous in what way?
Wow. I would not describe myself as famous at all. I would say that there are the very rare occasion where somebody will be aware of the job stuff that I do, and it's sweet and kind of flattering. But I think when I was a kid, I thought it would be really cool to be famous. But the very, very, very small taste I've had of just being a little bit noteworthy in certain very specific contexts, I would not want to be famous.
You're right.
Like the even just looking at what fame looks like from far away, I realize that it is not what I thought it was when I was a kid. You know, and I don't say that because I think I'm famous. I just like I would not want to be famous. I maybe want to be able to get a good dinner table at a restaurant that's booked
with Tom Waits
with Genevieve.
If I'm going to be completely honest about this, I think that in my life, to a degree, and I want to be as nuanced about this as possible, I'm actually moving in a different direction. Because my entire life, I had no desire to be famous at all. Nothing. Like, even in public radio, always behind the scenes. Wanted to be a producer. Never had a desire. So many producers I've always known are being a producer in the hopes of someday being a host or a reporter or on the air. Never had that desire at all. But now that I actually work in a somewhat public field doing this podcast with you, and we saw the numbers, I think somewhat is fair.
Ooh.
No.
Possibly a stretch, but okay.
I would be lying if I didn't tell you that meeting people in real life, whether it's I bump into a listener on the street or if it's at an event, and being around a bunch of people who are like, I love what you do. I know who you are. Like, that is really special to me. And, like, I think sometimes I'm like, oh, what is my next thing? You know, if we're not doing this podcast forever and my next thing is low-key, will I miss that? Will I miss the opportunity of somebody sending me an email and saying, hey, I saw you walking down the street and I didn't say anything, but it was so cool. Like, that makes me feel good. And yeah. I think I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm sniffing my own farts, as you would say, Luke, but but I think I'd be being disingenuous if I didn't admit that I get a rush from that. And since we are doing this podcast, I'd also be lying if I told you that I don't sometimes get pings of jealousy when I know of other people who are doing similar things.
Ken Jen and Andy Richter.
Yeah, who are doing similar things and are way more popular. Like, uh-huh. It is part of me like, oh, I'd like our show to reach more people and thus me be more popular, I guess. So I don't know. I don't want to be super, super famous, but I also don't want to lie to you guys.
But see, I agree, Andrew. It's really a good feeling if someone is aware of the stuff that we do or something I do with like Livewire or whatever. It's really nice for people to say when people say like, oh, hey, I liked that thing or whatever. But I don't consider that being famous, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, I think of fame as the like, you know, being like Tom Hanks. When Tom Hanks did Wait, Wait.
Yeah.
And I was on the panel that week and he was so sweet. But it was just like gravity bends around a person that's that famous. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a distortion field of everybody. Is their mind is being blown at all times that they're in a room with Tom Hanks and he's just trying to live. And then there was this like we go sign some autographs and chat with the crowd afterwards. And it was like that was a non-start, like that would have been an unsafe situation for him. And he was as chill as you could be for as famous as he is.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like it didn't look like fun to me. That's what I guess that question makes me think of that level of fame.
Yeah.
I think we're at the right level of famous, which is not famous.
I think what we're stretching out here is like there's a difference between your work being prolific and like mm-hmm. being known versus like you as a personality being famous, as a person being famous. And I can understand that.
Well, because the other thing about it and I've had the briefest experience with this is – okay, so years and years ago, Carrie and I were in this bizarro, it was like a poorly conceived Microsoft idea, which was the Apple was announcing something with the new iPhone, and some people at Microsoft, friends of ours who were video producers, thought it would be funny if there was like a quick kind of viral response from Microsoft. They didn't know what it was going to be, but they just got a bunch of us in a room. We watched the announcement and then just riffed a bunch of ideas. Of the 20 ideas that were riffed, by far and away the worst one was what they decided to go with, which was like me and Carrie in this conference room. And we're supposed to be – we work for Apple. We're pitching to this person who's sort of got their back to us. And it's supposed to be this guy named Johnny Ive, who was the head of design. Anyway, it was – none of it worked. They didn't release it. You know, they were supposed to release it that day. They had to go through legal for like 3 weeks, so it lost whatever. They also took all of these little small vignettes that she and I had kind of improv, that maybe like two of them were mildly funny, and they just cut them all together into this one like 7-minute thing that like made no sense. So they put it on the internet, and then everybody starts thinking on the internet that the commercial or whatever you call it was making fun of Steve Jobs, who at the time was very sick with cancer. So the story all of a sudden on the internet is Microsoft trolls Steve Jobs, who's sick with cancer, which was not what was going on. And then it just took off from there. And then Microsoft took the video down because their comms people were like, but then it had already been mirrored in a bunch of places. And then it was like Microsoft takes down controversial video where they are trolling Steve Jobs. Then it ends up.
I probably would have wrote one of those stories. Back
totally. And it would have been like. I mean, it was a total mishigas, whatever it was they put up.
Yeah.
But the most surreal moment, Carrie and I were like watching TV and it comes on. I mean, we must have known because we don't watch like Fox Business. But we were watching some cable news show. I think it was like Fox Business. And the anchors are talking about the commercial they're talking about us. And they're just like, and the anchor, the woman anchor's like, that's really low class to make fun of a dying man. And they're just having this whole conversation about us. And there's a picture of us on the screen. And we were in the room of when this thing was made. It was the weirdest experience. And all I can imagine is a real famous person. Imagine you're J-Lo.
Yeah.
Imagine you're Billie Eilish. Imagine you're anybody. The amount of that that's going on at all times in your life, mm-hmm. in the comments of people theorizing about you, it must be totally weird.
Yeah, especially if you break up with someone.
Oh, my God. I know. Yeah. You know?
And you're like, oh, they unfollowed this person. What does it mean?
Yeah, yes, right?
Oh, my God. Yes.
I did unfollow Steve Jobs, so I think that was what started tongues wagging.
Bill O'Reilly said Genevieve's name once on the air.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was just because she was working for a university. I can't remember which one. She's worked for several. And
get your name out of my mouth.
it wasn't the UW. It was one of her prior jobs. And she basically had released a press release that kind of said no statement, essentially. And he was just kind of like, oh, Genevieve has from
this
Northeastern
pinhead,
University
yeah.
says, right. yeah, something
oh
like
my
that.
God. And that's weird, right? It's just like to,
yeah.
to have your, anyway. So would you want to be famous, Christina?
I think I'm in the same lane as you guys where like I want to make work that touches people's lives and like impacts people, but I don't want it like an author. I just basically don't want to be bothered when I'm in a restaurant eating.
Yeah.
Like
right.
I don't want to get to that level of famous.
Yeah.
Or
the gym.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. Please don't let anyone see me at the gym. We've already talked about the sweating
yeah,
problem.
If anybody ever sees any of us at the gym, just pretend you didn't.
Andrew?
Are you ready for a question?
Are you going to be mad if I tell you something about the gym the other day?
Luke and I were both in the gym the other morning, and I don't know. I have no idea what you're going to say, but we were working in different parts of the gym. You were on the treadmill. I was on the elliptical. And I knew somehow I am doing something. I'm not even joking. I had the thought, you're going to have something to say about my – because we've never been in a gym together before. And you're going to have something potentially shitty to say about
no.
my experience in the
no.
gym.
No.
No?
No, but it was probably a bigger violation than that. I took a picture of you and I sent it to Carrie and Phyllis and I said, look at our guy Andrew – on the treadmill at 6:30 in the morning, because I was like proud of us that we were doing it.
Oh, that's fine. Let me see the photo.
I did not ask you if I could take a picture of you. It was from across the room.
Let me stare at this photo for 4 minutes. I'm going to stare into my butt for 4 minutes.
Is that question number 20?
Let me see here. It's okay. I mean, you can really see, you know, I always look at myself in the mirror and you can, and I'm, so I'm very aware of the baldness at the front of my head. This is interesting to see the baldness in the back of my head.
You know what their comments
were? Not
were?
The most flattering.
They were proud
thing
of you
seen.
And they yeah. also noticed that your shirt matched the wall.
No, that is true. It looks like I'm trying to disappear into the wall.
But I just, I know that was
photo.
I know that was like a slight violation, mm-hmm. but I just was, I don't want to say proud of you. That sounds like patronizing, but I was proud of us that
yeah.
we got there. And I wanted to tell people who know you and love you, mm-hmm. like Carrie and Phyllis, that, you know, mm-hmm. that you're on your grind. I thought it was cool.
Okay, you're going to delete that now.
Okay, I will. But I didn't think you were doing anything wrong, by the way, at all in the gym. I didn't even look at you other than to take a picture of you.
I didn't even look at you except to take a creep shot.
It was kind of a creep shot, but anyway. Okay, next question, Christina?
Yes. Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say? Why?
This is a little bit of a tough – this quiz – not quiz, but these questions came out about 10 years ago. Is that right? Between
so.
5 and 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Because it's interesting because I think people don't make phone calls that much anymore.
No.
And I would say the majority of my very few phone calls are business-related,
okay.
like if I'm going to hop on the phone with a colleague. And so in those cases, yes. But I don't know if that's really getting at the heart of the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Andrew. The number of phone calls we now have are pretty limited. I would say I definitely rehearse conversations that I think might happen. I rehearse arguments about gun control all the time, aloud. Like, just, I don't know why. So if I have to say it.
Because you believe in your second.
Because I'm just saying.
Right.
Just saying. And not just that, but that's just like a weird example. But I will be driving in the car listening to like public radio or sports talk or whatever, and I will start like litigating whatever is being litigated. And sometimes I will turn the radio off and have the whole conversation. Like, how would I say this?
Do you do it out loud?
Out loud, like if I'm by myself in the car. And I kind of want to like hear – a lot of times what it'll be is I'll hear someone making an argument that I feel like is not particularly well expressed. Mm-hmm. And then I'll think, would I say it better or what would I say? And then I'll turn off the radio and then I'll host my own talk show on that topic,
wow,
driving somewhere. And that is pretty weird.
That's not weird. I'm really impressed by that because I think that I'm not trying to turn this into another self-deprecating thing about me because we've already done a lot of
Did you take a secret picture of me hosting my own talk show in the car and send it to Phyllis?
Weird that you drive topless.
Wow, what a mental picture.
Just feels right.
But I'm actually really impressed by that because it makes sense that even makes more sense that you are in the field that you are in. And I mean that broadly speaking, not just this show, but Livewire and everything that I've seen you do. The fact that I'm thinking about this because we're here in St. Paul again, the fact that they reached out to you a couple of years ago and just said, hey, why don't you fill in for Carrie Miller and just do our 2-hour call-in show in a state that you don't even live. But people trust you enough.
Full of cities you can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Tim and Shakopee, you're on the line.
And that people knew that you'd be able to handle that well, deftly, which you did, coughing fit aside.
Yeah.
And so I'm impressed by that and somewhat envious. I wish I had a little bit more of that in me.
It is weird that like you would think I would have – I'm getting to do enough talking in my life. You wouldn't think I'd be doing it on the side purely for my own benefit.
Well, were you doing this your whole life? I mean, were you doing
yes.
this as a kid and
Absolutely.
Then you get into this field? I mean, it all
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
I've always lived in this weird world of imagination with those kinds of things. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to – there was a brick wall. There's an alley behind our house, and there was a brick wall, and I put a strike zone up on it, and I would listen to the Mariner games, and I would pitch the entire baseball game. I would try to reenact every pitch that the Mariner pitcher
wow.
would do, and I would call the whole game out loud to myself – over the guy, Dave Niehaus, in those days, who was calling the game. So there's been a lot of weird Walter Mitty shit going on for me. What about you, Christina? Like, what is your... Would you ever rehearse a phone call?
Yeah. So I have very intense social anxiety disorder.
Okay.
And so, like, it's funny because I work in social media.
Yeah.
But the point there is that I don't have to be myself.
Yeah.
I can hide
yeah.
behind a brand.
Yeah.
And back when I was a reporter and I would have to make phone calls, it was very anxiety inducing. So I would have to practice just so I could, like, have my questions thought out and, like, just, you know, be cognizant of my tone and just try to, like, really think about how I'm very obsessed with, like, how I show up in a room.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I totally would practice. And just be like, oh my God, sometimes I would always hope they wouldn't pick up.
Yes.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And also, for me, it was always the worst when your colleagues were around. I mean, that's something that even late in my career, even like as a more senior producer, on the occasion that I would have to do a pre-interview on the phone, you guys know me, I'll throw myself on my own sword pretty quickly in a conversation, and that's fine in an interview if you're not recording and it's not for air. Just be like, I don't know anything about this. I'm an idiot. Tell me everything. Like, whatever. I've asked some really dumb questions in my life, but I've needed to, right?
Yeah.
But it's fine if I'm in an office by myself and my colleagues can't hear what an idiot I am. But like for me, I'm performing for the people at the cubicle next door.
Yeah.
That's when you got to step into a studio.
Yeah.
And have some have a private
yes,
conversation.
Exactly.
And Christina, do you feel like when you're on our show talking to us,
mm-hmm.
does this bring up anxiety for you?
No, I mean, I think through the process of having done like a podcast for on my own side, I've just gotten more used to like being on mic, being present, and not really, again, judging what I'm saying a lot, but I am aware of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But just being comfortable, and like I also know that your audience like is very caring and compassionate, so like I think they'll be very forgiving if I'm not very good, but I just try to be in the moment when I'm on these things.
That's awesome. Well, you sound great, and it's always fun
Thank
having you.
You
on the show. So,
and that's how, and that's the first thing we kind of learned about you when you were very first on the show. You were talking about all the different nicknames you've had,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of apply to your different kind of personalities—not personalities, but contexts in which you live.
Yeah.
And you were kind of saying that Kiki Lolo, which we now call you, was kind of almost like a character that you had to slip into when you do public presentations.
Yeah,
right?
It was like my Sasha Fierce, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah. That's I think about that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, but then like you just absorb that person and like it becomes a part of you, and then you just learn how to be yourself in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then one day I don't know who Luke Burbank is anymore.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've been wearing the mask so long.
Yes,
did Jeff Garlin say that to us?
Yeah.
Sometimes if you wear the mask long enough it fits, I think is
wow.
what he said.
And I think I've told this on the show before too, but my version of that, Christina, was what we call vox pops or
mm-hmm.
like man on the street interviews, which is very gendered, is something that like I used to love making montages of that kind of like little radio story. But the actual act of going out onto the street and approaching strangers with a microphone is just so it's hard for everybody, even very outgoing people. It's very, very hard for me. And there was an elevator at KUOW, the public radio station. I was on the, I think we worked on the second floor. Is that where all the studios are? And you would take an elevator down, very short elevator ride. But I would, in the elevator, put on my cans, pull out my microphone, and be like, when this elevator hits the floor, I'm a different person.
Yeah. You kind of just have to like shift something mentally. I think also the
Or you could lie, which I would do sometimes. Like, yeah, I just didn't get anyone good.
I thought you meant you'd go out there and be like, hi, I'm Bill Radke.
Honestly, I'm sure I came back from more than one, like particularly when I was an intern or like a starting out producer where I'd be sent out to get Vox.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. I was so embarrassed.
So interesting.
And I would just, I mean, I think usually what happened is I would go out, I would stand around nervously. I wouldn't get anyone. And then I would make up a story. And then on my way back, I'm just going to talk to one person. And then they'd be kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I usually would get something usable to my own surprise. But I think there had to be at least one or two times where I literally just came back and just lied.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did you have to get Vox when you were a reporter?
Yeah. So I think it's something I did in school where they would just send us out into the like food comm area and just be like, get quotes.
Oof.
And
that's a lot for a college kid.
Yeah. Yeah. From your peers. And it's like, you're not even doing it in an official capacity to an end. It's just for like a class experiment.
Yeah.
But I think that the other thing about Vox Pops is like, it really makes a world of difference depending whether or not you have a mic flag.
Oh, yeah.
Whether
that's
you're just like, you have a branded, like people know. So like, oh, yeah, I love WNYC. Not that I ever did for WNYC, but it's that's a completely different experience versus like, hi, I'm a weirdo with a microphone.
Yes, which was me because I also, my other move was, and this is getting less interesting by the second for the listeners, but I wouldn't, this is such bad radio. I mean, it's such bad radio production. I wouldn't wear headphones because I would have a shotgun microphone.
Christina's face says
it all. I know. I know this going on. I would take a shotgun microphone and my, you know, recording kit, kind of like whatever that Tascam is that Andrew's recording this on. I'd have the thing or like a DAT player or whatever we're using at the time. A shotgun microphone. No headphones because I didn't want to stress people out. So they knew they were being interviewed.
Right.
I would ask them. So if I were to interview you, Christina, I would say like, "Oh, hey, I work for KUOW, and we're just asking some folks about this new parking rule. And could I talk to you for the on the show, or you know, could I interview you and use it maybe on the show?" And if you said yes, I would just start rolling very subtly, and the mic would be. But this is bad a radio production because I wouldn't know if there was some weird sound in the line.
Yeah.
But I felt like if I was just looking at the person eye contact, I didn't have these big headphones on, it would be less intimidating. And the mic wasn't like right up in their face.
Yeah. That's the struggle really, is just like making the person like not be so aware that they're being recorded.
Yes. But then there's the other end of the spectrum, which is you always get that one person who comes up and they're like, I want to be on TV. Ugh. And you're like, do you see a camera?
Yeah.
Anywhere?
I know.
You have an idea of how television works, sir.
And they think it's live. And you're like, how could this possibly
be? Baba Booey.
How would that even work?
Yeah, right. Okay. We're on question four. I think we're making good progress.
Yeah.
What would constitute a perfect day for you?
I think I had one. I was in Tulum, Mexico.
Wow.
After Christmas, and it was so lovely. And I historically don't do a lot of these kinds of vacations because I when I was younger, I always wanted to go someplace I hadn't been before and see something, which is fun, but also you're like doing stuff. You know what I mean? You're kind of, it almost feels a little bit like work. I haven't done a lot of like go like lay on the beach.
Yes.
I didn't really grow up in a family that did that.
Yeah.
So it feels very bougie to me.
Yeah. I think it's also that pressure where you feel like I'm in this new place. I should explore it.
Totally.
Versus like, this is a regenerative, like.
Yes. Self-care.
Yeah, self-care.
So I really leaned into the self-care on this trip. And I would get up in the morning. I was staying in this really lovely little boutique hotel just with this great staff. I'd get up in the morning. They would make a whole like bowl of fruit.
Nice.
It was like it came with breakfast. And it was just like fresh fruit from the area.
Yeah,
I would just like eat which I would, in my normal life, I would never cut up a bunch of different kind of fruit and eat it at breakfast. But it was just right.
Vacation Luke does.
Yeah, because some very kind person put it together for me. So I'd eat this fresh fruit. And then I'd go down and, well, one day I jogged on the beach in bare feet, which was a terrible idea because I got horrible blisters. But the perfect day was the day before that when I ran on the beach in shoes. And it was just like there's these ruins, you know, like ancient ruins up on this bluff that you can see. There's these giant lizards everywhere, the water. And then when I was done with that, I rented a little, you know, kind of covered bed and just was lying there on the beach reading my Ram Dass Be Here Now book, staring out at the ocean. And I just did that all day. It was great. So I think that would be my perfect day. If also I could maybe have like a sub sandwich
there. Just a giant sub like what Homer about, Simpson.
What about you?
I hate this question because I have to be honest, but it just – I think we've talked about this before on TBTL. And the thing is it just really underscores what a dirtbag I am and what dirtbag tastes I have because for me – okay, and also if you thought I was being what's the word? Trinkly before? Is that a word?
You mean like a little treacly?
Treacly. Yeah, treacly. If I was being a little precious by saying I would like to have dinner with Genevieve, this will overcorrect on that because sure. my perfect day is probably, okay, first of all, Genevieve's out of town. I don't know why. Sorry, Genevieve. I love you.
She's hanging out with me and Jeff Tweedy.
Yeah.
Okay, she's your dinner guest. Yeah. It's fine.
Genevieve is in Tulum with Luke and Jeff Tweedy having just an amazing dinner.
Yep.
They got Tom Waits. He's FaceTiming in. I'm at home. It's kind of a staycation day. I wake up. I'm disciplined and I wake up at my leisure. Let's say 10-ish. I know that I have no responsibilities for the day. I do the one thing that I feel like I should do, which is maybe I go to the gym.
Right.
And then
I'm hiding in a corner. I take a picture of you.
Yeah, Lucas. I just see like the nose and eyes of some head, and then a camera comes up and snaps it. But you know, I do that because then I'm like, oh, I feel great.
Right.
I can now abuse my body the rest of the day. And so I go to the gym, and now let's say it's 1 o'clock. And now I'm like, oh, maybe I'm going to get on a bus and head over to Ballard. I'm going to listen to a new record on the bus. I love riding the bus. When you're not in a hurry and you're just kind of on your own pace, you know, hop on a train or a bus. I'm going to head over to Ballard, which is a cute kind of neighborhood in Seattle. And I am going to start probably by going to Hattie's Hat, and I'm going to get myself a chicken sandwich and probably a Bloody Mary. Hopefully the cool bartender's working. Tiny crush on her. Don't think she's been there for years, but this is my fantasy. And then I will do that. And then I'm heading over to, I always forget the name of this bar, but they have pull tabs, and it's been around since like the 60s.
The Smokehouse?
The Smokehouse. I'm going to head over to the Smokehouse. And there's
not that I've been there.
There's going to be a bunch of people in there who've already been there since 10 in the morning, getting right.
Man, I love that.
And I'm going to go over to the, I'm going to go, even though they have pull tabs behind the bar, I'm going to go to the pull tab vending machine where you put in 50 cents or a quarter and it, chunk. It's like one of those like, you'd like those vending machines for stickers that you can get, like kids can get.
I remember that.
And I will just, and it is so loud. It's like the sound of like a time clock back in the day.
Yeah.
And there are people around me, and I'll just be like chunk for like 10 minutes while I'm getting my pull tab cards out. And I'm gonna go to the bar and I'm gonna pull them. I'm not gonna win anything.
And that night there's a Mariner game on.
Which I might even.
Do I know this guy or do I know this guy?
Seriously.
I might even listen to the Mariners game while playing the Mariners on the Xbox, potentially, or I'll just watch the game. So
good
anyway.
Andy's time. When do you hit the hay in this dream day? About 3 a.m.?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm probably going to get really tired around 9 and think I'm going to go to bed early, but then I'm going to push through and I will go to bed around 3.
Okay. That sounds like a great day.
Yeah.
Christina, what would a perfect day for you look like?
I was thinking about this while you guys were talking. I think
it's normal for the mind to drift while Andrew and I are entertaining.
No, because I was like, they're going to ask me and I need an answer. I think it'll be a mix of both of your guys' days. So, like, I won't be home. I'll be in Palm Springs because I really love Palm Springs.
Yes.
There's something about, God, I sound so California. There's a vibe. it has a vibe. It has some healing vibes. No, it's just really nice. And especially if you go on off season. So, like November can be really nice. It gets a little cold at night, but that's fine.
Vives and I were just there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's great,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would probably like rent a nice Airbnb with like a nice pool.
Mm-hmm.
So I can have an entire pool to myself. And I would just like wake up, start my day, maybe swim a couple times during the day, watch something on Netflix, lay out in the sun. Like, just hang out, read a book, and then go and treat myself to a really nice dinner somewhere, like a $100 dinner, and just really, like, blow it up.
That sounds like a really good day, too. I think I may, at some point, try to live in Palm Springs. I don't know, maybe in my retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I am very much getting the whole snowbird thing.
Yeah.
Like, I used to think that was kind of weird. Like, oh, we drive the RV down to Arizona every winter, but I'm like, very much in that world now. Every time I visit Palm Springs, my brain starts spinning on like, how can I live here? Because it's just so great.
Yeah, I see how it would appeal to you. When Vives and I were there, we tried something that we hadn't tried the last time we were there, which is There's like a Jewish deli down there. Do you guys know what it is? I highly recommend it. There's usually a long wait. We had to wait about a half hour, but it was very authentic. So you don't kind of think about that as a Palm Springsy kind of meal. Usually Palm Springs, you're going to get something on a big white plate, and there's going to be sprouts involved.
Yeah.
But on your perfect day, if you're looking for something a little hearty, I recommend it.
Yeah. Do they have like pastrami sandwiches there?
Yeah, it's like one of those. Yeah.
Just steer clear of the bar that Andrew and Genevieve went to.
Yeah, the Roadhouse. It's like a conservative themed Roadhouse. We just wanted a dive bar, and then we kind of didn't realize that it was kind of like actually. It was like a conservative themed dive bar with a lot of
like
negative feelings.
Urinal pucks that had a picture of Jane Fonda on them in the men's room.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
But Andrew, you got to tell Christina. Andrew pulled the ultimate sweet burn on this
place. It started. So we were in there. Well, I mean, they were all nice to us. It was fine. Like, whatever. We're just playing cards, Vives and I. But it was kind of like we didn't realize exactly how themed it was at first. And then we're like, the more we're sitting there, the more we're looking around, kind of getting uncomfortable. We were there for maybe an hour or something. And we were controlling the jukebox the whole time and trying to play things that were stuff that we liked, but also wouldn't be, like, put off the other patrons, essentially, like kind of older country stuff. Anyway, but then when we leave, we're kind of worked up by the time we leave, and we're just thinking like, why is there so much, like, why do I have to pee on Jane Fonda? That doesn't seem nice. And so when we left, we're like, well, let's just leave them with a little bit of this. And so we put on a 911 as a joke on the jukebox.
Like outside the bar.
Wow.
Because it was, you know, one of those touch tune things. I was kind of like, I mean, I don't know if that's going to go well with their Blue Lives Matter flag. But then we put it on once, and then we thought it didn't go through, so I put it on again, and then the app was like, all right, we're playing this twice in a row. And I was like, let's get out of here.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt a little guilty about the second one.
I love it. That's my new favorite way to troll any of those kinds of places if they have touch tunes. So
anyway,
okay.
Number five.
All right, number five.
When did you last sing to yourself to someone else? So, like, when did you last sing to yourself, and when did you last sing to someone else?
I will say, this is very uninteresting, so I'll make it fast. I don't think I've ever sung to anybody else.
Wow.
Maybe I was in choir, like a church choir when I was like 7.
Yeah.
Maybe that. But aside from that, I don't do karaoke. I don't sing. And, you know, the last time I probably sang out loud was probably like in the shower. Like, I probably had 5 seconds of a song stuck in my head and on a loop, and I probably hummed it. I'm not a big singer.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you sing in the car to yourself?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
I was singing on this show when I tried to make it a musical at the beginning.
That's
so
true.
That would
be
the
most true.
Most recent time I was singing. I'm trying to think the last time I sang to some. Well, I mean, I tried to sing a little Atlantic Star to you, Christina, before the show, because last night when Andrew and I were at Mancini's Char House, they had karaoke going, which was the most lovely karaoke I've seen in a long time, because it was mostly older folks. There was, for one thing, this is so, and you observe this, Christina,
mm-hmm.
The difference between the Minnesota vibe, I don't want to overgeneralize, but the difference
right.
between the Minnesota vibe and the, say, California vibe or even the Washington vibe was on full display to me last night at this place. Because if you and I were at the Mandarin Gate in Seattle or any one of any number of places, once karaoke gets going, there's usually a really long line. There's usually this kind of, I don't want to say competitiveness, but it's like, it's just, everybody in the room, it seems, is trying to get up there and sing, and there's just this kind of thing going on that was totally absent last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was this very sweet karaoke DJ, and then it was like the same 4 or 5 older folks getting up and singing. And a lot of the people in the bar had no interest in singing.
Mm-hmm.
We're just chilling.
It was very much like the Eagles. I don't know. Have you ever been to a karaoke night at our Eagles
Maybe
club?
Maybe one time.
It's like that. It's like a bunch of people who know each other. They're all of a certain age. They're playing older stuff. And it's not very competitive. Yeah,
It was low competition. And just felt like everybody was just having a nice time, and it was just low stress, as opposed to like if you're in LA.
Oh man, yeah, it's like I was joking. It was like Glee rejects, like
yes.
people who mm-hmm. like didn't make Glee or whatever dream that they had, or they're like hoping to be discovered. It's like people who sing amazing, and it's no fun if you're like just an okay singer.
Outside the Brass Monkey, one guy came up to me as outside smoking. I smoked at the time, obviously, and
the Brass Monkey, for folks that don't know, is this like legendary karaoke bar in LA.
You've been there, Christina?
No, I haven't, actually.
It's a little bit, it's in Koreatown. It's kind of,
I've heard of it,
subterranean
yeah.
a little bit. It's a very, very, very chill vibe there. It's not a fancy bar or anything, but people are just really good. And there's a lot of
people.
And it's people
known
who are,
for really good karaoke.
Yeah. yeah. And so, like, since I'm the guy who just goes to watch other people do karaoke, that's a good place for me. Mm-hmm. But
what do you get out of that?
Well, I would never do it myself. What I get out of it is I'm with friends who want to do it.
You and
know,
a lot of
like Genevieve
not,
or Luke.
Oh, so you're a lot going of people, with a group of friends, you're not just going to
I would
see
never go by myself. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
a lot no. of people in our friend group really like karaoke.
Yeah.
It's funny
I'm just
because
around it a lot.
Back yeah. to that question of not famousness, but maybe like the as many an ex of mine has referred to it, the show off demon that I have. I feel like that show off demon's getting smaller. Because, like, last night, Andrew, I had zero desire to get up there and sing. And I didn't. But, like, I think 10 years ago I would have been like, oh, this will be fun. That's kind of a cool stage. And, you know, if I pick the right song, I can semi-carry a tune. Like, this is a chance for me to do something. And that whatever that impulse is has long, long left me.
Yeah, yeah. It's not super interesting, but just to finish my story quickly about the Brass Monkey. So I'm outside smoking, and it's so clear that this kid is coming up to me, like a young man who's like he thinks I'm somebody. Because I'm sitting in the bar not singing. So he assumes that I'm somebody there who's scouting talent in some way. And I can't remember exactly how he came off.
I've never heard this story.
He really wanted to, it's a little vague now, but he really wanted me to know that he was going to be back the next night and I think what he was going to sing or something. And I didn't try to lead him on, but he also didn't specifically say that he thought I was a scout. So I just was like, okay, that's great. And I was just friendly, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's a real power move, though.
Yeah.
Now I know if I want to seem like just sit, something I've never done, sit quietly in the back of the room and observe, and everyone's like, well, this person's got something going on.
Wear a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite, like, observer karaoke nights I ever had was back in Brooklyn in Bay Ridge, which is a very typical Italian neighborhood. And this, for some reason, this Italian restaurant had a karaoke night. And so it was all these, like, older people singing Frank Sinatra,
right?
One after another, like Frank Sinatra, or a Vic Damone, or like one of those, like a Dean Martin, like just like, and they, a lot of them killed it. But it is like that kind of singing is like, it's about your the vibe that you're exuding, and like not whether or not you hit the notes, you just gotta have the confidence.
Yeah,
but, so it was so great to watch these older guys just like really put themselves out there. Like,
are you a karaoke person?
I like a private room karaoke situation. I'm not like performing for strangers.
I sometimes find those private rooms, once they get rolling, it's all fun, but the first like 10 minutes in a private karaoke room with your friends is pretty awkward. It'll be like a little too bright, nobody's had a drink yet.
A little too bright, a little too sober,
a little too
and you start off with a group song. Does somebody start does one person start off? Like, how does it work?
What do you do though? What's a go-to for you if you're in the right environment?
I used to do A Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Nice.
But it's too long, and there's a long instrumental section. Yeah. And so, like, nobody needs to be subjected to that.
My friend Robert Smith, who was the host of Planet Money and many other things in the public radio world, years ago came up with this idea, which he really should have pursued, which was a business where you just edit karaoke songs down.
Yeah.
To, it's basically like the part, you know, you get the, I guess it'd be sort of like the first verse and then a chorus. I don't really know the construction of songs, but you just basically get the good parts that everybody wants to hear, and then you're done. And these could be 2 minutes long.
Wherever the key change happens, like, let's get right to that.
They're already recreating these songs. I just never understood why they would leave that in. It's not like they're taking the original songs and singing over it. Like,
it's some MIDI version that was created somewhere.
It's why funny because you're like, not even the radio edit? Like,
right. Okay, I guess we'll just listen to this 8-bit version of a guitar solo that goes on for 17 bars.
Oh, man.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Okay, let's maybe try to do one or two more questions, Christina, and then we'll finally know if Andrew and I should truly, host the show together?
Yeah,
I also never really nailed what the final goal was, but I'm having fun doing this for what it's worth.
So here's my question, because we're trying to like cut to it. Should I go further down the list and pull something from there?
You should just pull the questions that you think are the best. Yeah.
Ooh,
you don't have to go in order. Two questions that you find
interesting for whatever reason.
Yeah. You know me and Luke. Okay. I'm giving you a second. You know me and Luke pretty well.
This is a little dark, but it's okay.
Okay.
If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you most regret not having told someone? Why haven't you told them yet?
Wow, that's more just like a life lesson. That's more like marching orders. Oh, man.
That I want Genevieve to leave on a work trip so I can have my perfect day.
This isn't answering the question, but I send a round of texts to like a sort of small list of people who I'm very close with, you know, every time I'm on a plane that takes off.
Yeah.
Not like a group text, but I go and individually text, you know, Addie and Carrie and I have a little short list, and it's I know air travel is pretty safe, and I'm not like a nervous flyer, but it's just a habit I'm in, and it's, I don't know, I guess I just want the last thing on their phone from me to be like, hey, I love you. Taking off? Hey, I love you.
That's nice.
Yeah, I never think about that. Especially, we fly a lot.
So that, I don't know if that answers the question. Man, that's probably my mom. You know, I give my mom a hard time, particularly on this show. My mom is just a real character, and she's got a lot of really great qualities, and she's got some kind of weird qualities, too, that I tend to highlight because they're more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, I think I kind of, there are some people that are very, 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 mama's boys, or they're just like their mother looms very large in their imagination, and they're always going on, you know, that connection is very strong, and they're very loving in that way. I think I kind of bust my mom's balls. Oh, by the way, she has balls too. That's one of her quirks. No, I give my mom a little bit of a hard time, and I think I should probably be a little bit more. Here's what I know. It would make her entire week if I called her out of the blue sometime. When I worked at a conservative talk radio station, they gave us, we did ads for the Vermont Teddy Bear Company.
Oh, yeah.
And which is, and I don't think we'll ever do ads on this show, so it's pretty shitty. Like, it's not a great product in
and
my
those
opinion.
Are the ones that now have the giant teddy bears that they try to
a
roll four, out.
A 4 foot five pile of awesome.
Exactly. Yes, we have that drop.
So they gave me like a free Vermont teddy bear to send someone. And
Was it a big one?
No, they didn't make that one yet. I was like, you know, I'm 22. It's like a $50 stuffed bear. I'm like, what am I going to do with this? So they had one that was like a biker, and it has a tattoo that says mom on it. It is a teddy bear that's wearing a pleather jacket, vest, like a pleather vest. So it's like a bad boy.
Or it looks like it's going to a leather club or something.
Yes, exactly. It is, right? It's a BDSM bear. So it has
anything that says bear loves leather.
Yes. It has this little tattoo on its arm or like a heart that says mom on it. So I was like, I don't know, send it to my mom. It was like Mother's Day or something. That was one of the highlights of my mom's entire life.
Yeah.
Getting this Vermont teddy bear thing. And, you know, I wish that I should do a better job of creating more of those little moments for her, because they mean a lot to her. And, you know, I just kind of think, I don't know, it's my mom, whatever. But it's like it is huge to her. So maybe when the show is done, I will call her and tell her I love her.
That's nice. All right.
If you say you're calling my mom, I swear to God.
The joke did enter my head for a second. I was also going to say, I guess I'd regret not telling you guys where I hid all the money.
but, oh, yeah. Or maybe you should have a plan in place for your friend to hide things that you don't want people to
know. Oh, that's a really good point. Although I don't have too many of those.
That was a service the Adam Carolla would always talk about, was really? Some kind of SEAL team.
Yeah.
That just, I don't know how they know, but somehow an alert goes out if you were to pass away unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And they just go in and really clean the place up.
They come down on ropes.
They do. They bust in the windows and they just get everything out of that house that you don't need your parents finding.
I just would want someone to tidy my room. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm just like, yeah. I don't need people to know that I don't make my bed in the morning.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, this is a shitty answer, and I apologize. It's kind of a non-answer, but I will just try to be brief and as honest as possible is I feel like I can't answer this now because maybe I'll think about it later. I'll give you an update on
the
show.
It was a weighty
question.
It's
a weighty thing, but yeah. The truth of the matter is I don't live with a lot of either a lot of regret about things like people who say like, oh, well, what are you going to miss on your deathbed? I wish I hadn't worked so much or whatever. Like, I just don't look at death that way.
Yeah.
I look at it as a sweet release. No. and I just don't. And I also think as far as my relationships, I think most of the people in my life know where they stand with me. Like, I think Genevieve and I are pretty good at communicating stuff. I think the rest of my – well, I don't know. I feel like the rest of my family kind of knows how I feel about them. I don't feel like I'm leaving a lot on the table there. And I also just don't – I'm not the type of guy who – at the beginning of the show, I live with so much regret over just dumb things I've said. But that's like kind of social anxiety. But I don't actually live with like a kind of a lot of capital R regret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wish I hadn't done that thing. But again, like my standards are very low. I just want to get a chicken sandwich at Hattie's Hat. So maybe that's
but
why.
I think you also live your life, Andrew, and I admire this. I think you live your life in a way you don't lie to people.
Uh-huh.
And you don't like – I think you focus on – you have good – I think you have pretty good boundaries in your life.
Yeah.
And you kind of set your life up in a way that it feels like a life you want to live and like is treading pretty lightly on other people.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think that's good. It's like I can see what you're saying. Like, it's like you don't. I just think that you kind of go about your business in a way that I think is admirable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think really hard about this, and we should probably just move on to the next question. But I mean, there might be a couple of people in my life who, you know, maybe it would be important for me to, or maybe it would be nice if they knew what an impact they had on me. And this is weird because it almost gets more on the professional level. Like, there's a couple of people I work with.
I get it, Andrew. I pick up what you're saying.
Does anybody have Todd Munt's email address?
You.
But I think going back to what you were saying about like the people in your life know how much you care about them, what informed that? Because I'm kind of the same way. And the thing that informed that for me, I wasn't always that way. But like I had my godmother died when I was 20.
Okay.
And it was she had congestive heart failure. But the day that she died, it was like 2 days before Christmas. And it just happened very suddenly. She collapsed like while shopping for Christmas presents.
Oh my gosh.
So like I was delaying seeing her, even though we lived like two blocks away. I hadn't seen her for like 2 months because I was caught up in college and trying to finish college. And I had bought her a gift and I was like intending to give it to her and like just tell her how much I loved her. And I never got that opportunity.
Ugh.
And so I really that weighed on me. It's like just always let people know mm-hmm. how much you feel about them, how much you care about them. Because you never know if you're going to get an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, was there anything like that informed that for you? Or are you just, like, a super awesome?
I don't think so. And the thing is, I'm not super awesome. I'm not. The truth of the matter is, I don't know that I'm necessarily good at communicating. I don't go around expressing myself to people all the time. But also, that's sometimes saying something as well. You know what I mean? Like, the maybe a lack of communication can tell somebody where they are in my life as well. And I don't mean that in a completely negative way. I just mean that I don't think it's always through conversations. I think it's also just the way I live my life and the way I interact with you. You probably know where you stand.
Yeah, I feel like, for the record, both of you are really great about how appreciative you are to work with me, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that, and I really like working with you.
I can also start texting you before I take off on
trip. Yeah!
I can add you to the list. You can be in my five.
Yay!
You'd be like, I'm getting a lot of texts from Luke.
But you are right. I think we started off way funnier, and this is getting really deep.
But I bet you it's actually more interesting to the listeners.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm putting myself in their shoes, I think that this is stuff that would be intriguing.
Okay.
One last one. Okay, good.
This is a nice note.
Okay.
Tell your partner what you like about them.
Oh.
Be very honest.
Oh.
Saying things you might not say to someone you just met. So I think some of this questions are framed around like just meeting people,
mm-hmm.
people who have just met. But I think we don't, like, going back to that, like telling people you appreciate them.
Yeah.
We don't really get this opportunity a lot, and to capture on mic for content.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I want to start.
Okay.
And I don't want to look at you, Andrew, because it'll be a little too intense.
Okay.
But no,
do you want
me
to put on my workout gear?
Yes. Could you go to the corner and take
a
picture of you from the back?
Yes.
That's how I want to remember you.
Talk to my bald spot.
Andrew's the thoughtfulness that Andrew demonstrates just in life and as it relates to our relationship and our professional relationship is really something. And we were talking to in our big retreat meeting about having been in Australia and the fact that we were together basically 24 hours a day for like over a week, flying across the ocean and driving in the outback and staying in sometimes very crummy motels. And we...
Oh, you didn't like the motels?
We did not have one argument, except there was this one brief moment about a particular song that I wasn't into where we had like, which if you were listening, you know, if you were eavesdropping in the car, you wouldn't have even probably identified it as an argument.
No, I mean, it was, I mean, and I said that in the meeting, like as a joke, because it wasn't really an argument, right. But it was just like, I mean, I think I got frustrated for a second and right. It was literally the best way I can describe it. I said in the meeting was like, it was about whether or not there's kind of an objective truth when it comes to what is music. And like, I was like, kind of like, but no, different cultures have different sounds that hit their ears clearly differently. And so therefore there can't be like, because I think you were just making the argument on some like Dave Berman track, you're like,
yes,
nobody just, likes this sound.
Yes, no, there was a Silver Jews song that you played
mad,
that I was like no. this is unpleasant to hear. Anyway, here's my larger point. You and I get along famously, and it is not because I am easy to get along with. It's because you are such a great person to collaborate with. So I really appreciate that about you.
That's
because,
sweet.
Because you and I have the most easy and comfortable relationship of any person that I've ever like worked with or known. And I know that's not because of me, because every other relationship in my life is always ends up in some form of wreckage. So the through line in all of that is me. So I have to say, I really appreciate that about you, Andrew.
Well, I appreciate that, too. And what are you going to do to Camaro Kev? Because that's a pretty strong relationship, too, I would believe. Don't wreck that one.
I'm keeping that one together just barely. Just barely.
Well, I hope this isn't... to flip, but I'm going to keep it kind of in the professional realm because I, ironically, going back to what I was saying before, how I feel like I'm relatively good at expressing myself, or I think I've literally had this conversation about you, Luke, with you last night and with you, Christina, the night before about what I appreciate working with you is that I'm really lucky to have found somebody who almost is in lockstep as far as what we want out of radio and what we like out of radio. And then we get to get together and make that radio together. Like, I just think there are so many people who work together, and maybe frankly, that's a bad thing. I mean, maybe the show would be a lot better if there was more push and pull and somebody kind of saying, but
this
like,
is not really iron sharpening iron.
Yes, exactly.
It's just sort
it's
of
like two marshmallows rubbing
it's just
together.
Two Nerf footballs just at the bottom of a sports bag.
Exactly. But like, I feel like so incredibly lucky. Like, I like, you know, like our aesthetic, which you hear on the show, which is a little bit loose, a little bit live, a little bit like all these things that some people like and some people don't, like almost down to the minutiae. I mean, you and I have put out so many damn shows.
Yeah.
And we were talking last night, like, there have been like three times that you've said to me, I wouldn't use that intro tape again or something like that, you know? And like, that's it. That's the extent of us not agreeing on tape. And by the way, you're probably right on all of that tape, you know? We're thinking of one pretty edgy piece of tape that I used from the TV show Archer that I cannot believe I ever thought that was appropriate for our podcasting audience. Don't worry, it's before American Public Media, but it was graphic.
I love that show, so I'm very curious.
I will tell you later.
You after the thing. Well, thanks, Andrew, for saying that, and I feel the same way. Let's just, as we're wrapping this up, say, Christina, it's so fun working with you, and you're so like smart, and I'm going to take this to a weird place first. I've always known you were a smart person, but I don't think I fully got it until you gave that presentation. Like the last time we were here,
we were
in that conference room where there was like cameras hanging from the ceiling, which was mildly weird, or microphones or whatever it was.
Yeah, microphones.
But it was like, I don't think I fully, because I'm pretty narcissistic and I'm mostly just thinking about my experience, I don't think I realized all the stuff that you're working on all the time and the kind of like deep level of like data that you're looking at and analyzing. And when you gave that presentation, it was really eye-opening to me. But in addition to all that, you're like just so fun and smart on the show. You're such a great character and the listeners love you. And like, you've always been game. Like when we've been doing these TBTL-a-thons to help kind of be our
penny
to our Inspector Gadgets. And when there's some issue with whatever technical side of things, you're always really gracious about that. So it's, you know, we got a lot of love for you too.
Well, I care about you guys a lot too because you're so kind. Like, it's great to work with kind people, and like I work with a lot of kind people. Coming from like commercial television,
we're the
coming from like a newsroom, it's very different.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's great. I really genuinely enjoy working with you guys, and I'm really grateful because the audience has really been welcoming to me and very kind. So I've appreciated every experience that I've had to be on here, and that you make me a part of it.
I think it's official. We should all keep working together.
Let's all keep working together
based on our questions that we answered.
Yeah, I want to just say one quick thing about that too. Is you know. Luke and I are both try to, you know, express to you in person or, you know, to your face about how much we appreciate you. But I was really psyched that Lily, I don't know if she had said this to you previously or if you heard it in the meeting for the first time, but Lily, there was a reorg at APM recently where people kind of were kind of moving around departments. And Lily mentioned in the meeting that I kind of forgot about this, that our first question for her in the meeting was like, we still get to work with Christina, right?
So
not just blowing smoke at you. Like, we're having those conversations behind your back, too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for this here edition of the show. So, Christina Lopez, thank you
so
much. Thank you. Please come back anytime.
Yeah, maybe we can finish more of these questions or something.
Yeah.
We'll just do 5 questions at a time for about 20 episodes or however long it takes. So, thanks everybody for listening. And everything, honestly, that all the love that's flowing here between the three of us, it's also flowing in the direction of the listeners. I was saying this on the show yesterday, like, it's interesting to be here at APM because we're very lucky in that we're treated very well by all the people that work here. And it is because the listeners are so fervent.
Mm-hmm.
If the tens of listeners were not who they are, well, our key cards wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I don't think it's because everybody in this building is like, TBTL, that's great radio. Mm-hmm. I think it's because they're like, their fans are obsessed. So we have to pretend like this is a real thing.
Right.
So hey. Thanks for that, listeners.
Speaking of key cards, I see you didn't bring yours. You're using a visitor key card. Just
question number 37. What is it about your collaborator that you don't appreciate? And judging me that I forgot to bring my official ID badge.
Oh, so is Andrew's taking pictures of me behind my
back? Sure.
All right, thanks, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.